Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And it was great, like, because Harry kind of said that to me, like, we'd be watching TV and he'd be like, just enjoy it, like, we're here now. And that's what I would say to people, is that, like, sit down for the first month and put the feet up and enjoy being there and what you've achieved.
Welcome to the next episode of the Get In Our Home series. This series is designed to advise, inspire and educate all home builders, homeowners and renovators. My name is Peter Kilmartin, and in this episode we travel to County Limerick to chat with Breed at our newly built home in the Limerick countryside. Breed's done an amazing job and actually self-built the house herself with the help of her family, friends and partner Harry. Don't forget that you can also see this stunning home on the Get In Our Home YouTube channel. Trust me, the size of the window in the hallway alone is worth a look at this episode. I really enjoyed this chat and a really valuable one for those that might not think they're able for the self-build route. Breed will tell you how little she knew about building and how, with the right attitude, hard work and lots of research, anything is possible. So let's jump right in. Breed, thank you so much for coming on board and I really appreciate your time. So thanks very much. The whole idea of the Get In Our Home series is to talk to homeowners like yourselves and to, I suppose, give a little bit of guidance and advice for people that might be a little bit behind you in the process. Yeah. So having your advice and guidance is really, really appreciated. You might just start off and tell me a little bit about where we are and kind of where we're situated in the country.
Yeah, so we're about 15 minutes outside Limerick City, out in the back of Beyonds. So Ahan would technically be down the road. This is Maru, so I've jumped parish, which is quite controversial. But so Mom and Dad would live 2 miles down the road from us here and would have bought this land kind of in the 1980s. So it was kind of where we would have brought the cows up in the summertime and kind of milked them up here. So it was kind of like an additional small farm in a sense. So this is where the house is situated at the moment. And yeah, it's a lovely part of the country.
And tell me about the name. You said something about the name.
Yeah, so it's Maddy Boy is where we're from. And in Irish, that would be An Maith of Wee, which would be like long ago, I think, when they were doing boundaries between places, that they would have hit in a stick. And it was painted yellow to show the kind of division between places. So that's how this came about here. So I kind of like the Irish language. So I think it's kind of nice to know what the meaning of the place
is. Can you imagine growing up? Like, did you ever think to yourself, I'd love to build on this land? Like, was it ever in your head?
Yeah, it's gas, because I suppose I grew up at home on the home farm, and this was always kind of the place we came in the summer. Like, this is the place that I came with my friends climbing bales and, you know, that kind of thing. It was kind of a you go to place and leave. But it's funny, in years gone by, like, I actually lived in Cork for 7 years when I qualified as a teacher. I was living down there and renting, and then just kind of this grow to get home came upon me. And I used to go walking the whole time, and I'd be walking up the road and the land across the way is planted, and just kind of like, I just thought it was lovely. I don't know, I always thought the road was really, really nice. And then as it kind of grew closer, I could just kind of imagine being here. But I still look out and kind of can't believe we're like sunk in this little spot in here. But I do. I love it. Yeah, it's really, really nice.
And I suppose it's quite nice being so close to your family, right?
Yeah. Like, my brother is built next door and we're here. So we're setting up our own little mafia here at the moment. But yeah, it's lovely. And it's so nice. Like, my brother has like the fencing and I just kind of don't even walk on the road anymore. I kind of jump the fence. And it's really, really nice to be close to home and to have family around you. And I suppose with self-building, that's the big thing about it, that it's so important to have like support and family. So it's been a blessing, even from a safety point of view, when you're gone away and you're like, oh, my brother's next door. It's lovely, and his family. So it's great.
Tell me a little bit about yourself and deciding to go the self-build route. Was that always an option?
To be honest, it came down to money at the end of the day. Like, in a dream world, I kind of went off to the engineer and I had all these plans kind of done myself and all these mad things done, and kind of had all these ideas for like zinc canopies and you're going to put this, that and the other. And it does come down to cost at the end of the day. So it was when I went out to tender, I kind of sat down, and when I crunched numbers, it just wasn't something that I would have afforded at all. They were just coming in huge prices.
You mean going with a builder?
Going with a contract builder for the whole lot. So I just kind of said I couldn't do it, and that if I could cut out the whole contract and go the self-build route, it would just save me money. Didn't realise what was coming with it, but look, you're better off to jump into these things not knowing sometimes. But It was just kind of really money at the end of the day that made the decision.
And, you know, like the early days, tell me a little bit about the design process and those early days of, like, did you know, like, you know, what the house was going to look like? Did you have in your head, did you go to an architect or an engineer first?
Yeah, no, I actually didn't go to an architect at all. So I suppose, as I mentioned previously, I had been in Cork until about 2016, and decided to come up home, move back in with mom and dad, and was kind of like, what am I doing? Where am I going? I got a great job in Limerick and was delighted, but that was ticked, but kind of wasn't sure. And I just kind of felt that I really wanted to put down roots, and kind of said, look, rather than maybe buying a house, I kind of thought that I'd like to build. And I suppose my older brother had gone down that process and I'd seen what he had accomplished in a sense. And for the amount of money and what he got out of it, I just kind of felt that building was amazing, that you could create your home. So that really was kind of resonating with me. So I kind of decided, yeah, that I would do that. And I suppose as a person, I'd be quite creative. So, and the primary school teacher as well, I was out with the laptop and I was doing up little PowerPoints saying, in my house, I would like, kind of a thing. Or drawing things like greaseproof paper from the kitchen from mom, and these kind of silly things. But like researching, I suppose, and I was going...
Sorry, don't tell me you went to an engineer with a PowerPoint.
I did. I'd say he was like, this one now is for the birds. But yeah, I did. I suppose I kind of felt that if I could put down in words and with visuals what I wanted, I kind of felt if I went in and talked to him, that maybe he wouldn't understand what I meant or kind of see my vision in a sense. And I just kind of felt if I had something created that he could kind of take away and say, like, this girl means business. And I suppose that's maybe something like when you are doing this as a girl and stuff, that people are looking at you. So I kind of really wanted to hit the ground running.
And show them that you were serious about what you were doing.
Like, yeah, and I knew kind of what I wanted. And I suppose, getting back to your question, I did have a vision for what it was going to be. Now, it has changed slightly in what we have here now and stuff, but the overall kind of L-shaped, old meets new, stone, clean lines, all of those things were always in my head. Yeah.
And... how did the planning process go?
I found that actually the most stressful. And I don't know if other people feel like that, but I just kind of felt like I got turned down the first time. So like, I'm the farmer's daughter, gifted the site by mom and dad, so luckily in this day and age. But it was more the orientation of the house. Like, there were silly things about like the colours of the tile and having a bank, an earthen bank, and all these silly things. And was it visible on the road? And they were all worried about those kind of things. It was mainly the orientation of the house. I suppose the fact that I'm not facing the road, that it's kind of a different design, so they turned me down the first time.
What was their problem with that?
They weren't happy that the house wasn't facing the road like the other houses, like that I wasn't following the style that was there previous to me. And really interesting, my brother, when he had built, it was the fact that his roof wasn't reflecting the roof that had gone before him. But then when it came to me, they just kind of wanted slate. So I suppose there isn't really that continuity with them. You just don't know how it's going to go. It's a real lottery, maybe getting planning, but I found that quite stressful because I wasn't sure if my vision for the house was going to go through, or would I have to compromise on something just to get planning. So I did find that kind of a little bit disheartening as a process, because even though the build is hard, there's always progress. There's always something new that you can go, oh my God, amazing. Whereas with that, it's so unknown and your kind of ideas in somebody else's hands.
So you get planning, it's all guns blazing.
Yeah.
What happened next then in terms of, you know, were you literally the one sorting out suppliers, sorting out logistics, sorting out...
Yeah. So like in a way it was great, all the planning side of it. And then the reality kicks in and you're ringing suppliers and you're trying to find block layer and all of these kind of things. So yeah, it became very real, very quick. So you've done all the solicitor side of things and the banks and all of that paperwork. And then it's all guns blazing, trying to get some lad in with a digger to kind of dig out the site. And I suppose because it's a sloped site as well, we're 2 meters down in the farthest corner. So there was earth going here, there and everywhere for days, just trying to kind of open up the site in that sense. Yeah, so that was a mad couple of days looking at that, and so hard to kind of imagine the house sitting into that, you know. But yeah, no, it's come together anyway.
And like, were you nervous with that, Breed? Like, because a lot of people are, so when they think about self-building, they go like, I'd actually hate to be ringing people. And were you nervous about that?
Yeah, like I would find like that, do you know, like when you're younger and you see your parents going into a shop and like haggling for a price or something. I was never like that. I'd be kind of quite shy about things, or I'd be like, oh, thanks very much, and afraid to offend people. But you kind of get a thicker skin, I find. And once you've done your research, people take you a little bit more seriously. Because I did find in the beginning that you were ringing, you were like, hi, and they were like, who is this girl? And then you're going, I'm just wondering about this. And then they're like, oh, she kind of knows her business. And once you know what you're on about, people really respect you, and people were so kind. And like even the trades that were on site were so good to me. But yeah, you do really, really need to know what you're at.
When you're talking to certain people.
Yeah, I think if you kind of go in and just expect the house to kind of fall into place, it's not going to happen with the self-build. Like there's a lot involved in it. And it is intimidating, but I do think it's almost like kind of growing up. You grow up with the house yourself, you get a little bit tougher, you get a little bit more savvy. And like it's better to have the 10 euro in your pocket than somebody else's. So, and that's huge at the end of the day. It's 10 euro, you're like, win for me. Yeah.
Like, you know, moving on through the build then, Breed, like, was there any ever times where you were like, not a little bit out of your depth, but you needed a little bit of specialist help? You know, obviously you went the ICF route and you had to help with your family in the business, or not in the business, but your cousin was an ICF contractor. Like, was there any ever experiences where you felt like, oh geez, I really need help here?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, and I suppose like with Seamus, my cousin, like he was constantly sending me a message kind of saying, when this is done, you need to do this, this and this. And by that I mean like maybe a 10-step process. Like, so the minute one, not even the minute one job was done, you were lining things up for like the next 2 to 3 months. But I didn't know that order. Like I being honest, I didn't know what a first fix was. Like I didn't know what a second fix like comprised of. I didn't know anything. Like I kind of knew bits and pieces about a build, like obviously your foundation goes in and your rising walls and all of that jazz, but like I didn't know the nitty gritty things like about like insulating floors and what depth of insulation went down and stuff. So I did feel out of my depth quite a bit. But what
a great asset to have him.
Oh, amazing. Like, and like I would recommend that to anybody. Like if there was any way that you could like shadow somebody's build or get somebody that would say this comes and then this and then line up this person, just so like you had an order, a running order in a sense. And just having that running order then allowed me to kind of ring around guys and get prices and talk to local lads and say, who did your roof or were you happy with this? But without that running order, I would have felt really out of my depth.
And come here, did you find it hard to find suppliers?
Not really, to
be honest. Or tradesmen more than suppliers?
Yeah, not really. That was never an issue. Like, I was never really ever let down by somebody. At one stage, one guy said he wasn't coming, but he actually did end up coming. No, we were really lucky. And we had 2 lockdowns with COVID while the build was going on, but really, really lucky with trades. And I suppose, like, my one piece of advice for people would be, like, that if a trade came in and you were really, really happy with them, straight away I was showing them my list and saying, I have plaster boarding to be done, or I need somebody to plaster outside, or who would you recommend for groundwork? And they might say, God, there's this fella. And like when they kind of said that, you knew that they were really good at their job and kind of
assumed
the other guy's going to be good. Or what I often found was that if you got a recommendation of somebody, I might ask them, who would you like to come in before you? or who would you like to come in after you? I'd always ask that question. And especially like I found with the plastering, they were like, God, if you got X to do plasterboard, they're so tidy. And then I'll come in and my job is easier. Or like the electrician is saying, God, he's really a really good plasterer. That makes our job easier. So those kind of things kind of work hand in hand, that if you have somebody good, just ask them. But no, luckily we were never let down. And we got a lot of local lads. I think that's a really good way to go, because like chances are they'll pass your house at some stage, and if they've a dodgy whatever on your house, they'll be like, oh God. But no, local lads were really, really good to us on the build. Yeah.
And come here, did you find that there was a big buy-in from local lads because you were going on ICF build? Was there any hesitation there, or was it always kind of...
No. Like even like the electrician like was loving it, like with the hot knife, and it was going up like butter. Like he loved that, like delighted with that. No. And I suppose what I found when my brother would have built maybe 6 years previous, like men were driving in cars and like stopping on the road, and I'd say nearly robbing like some of the ICF blocks just for the look, like, or dad was chatting to everybody in the mart about it. But like with mine, I suppose it was a little bit more common by the time I'd built. So it wasn't this, what kind of a house is that? But you still get that the odd time, like people going, why is that grey? And it looks a bit bizarre, but yeah.
And then throughout the project, what was the worst day of the project? What was the day you look back and you go, geez, that was rough?
I'd say it was probably like there was quite a few of them, I won't lie. There was days that you'd be going, oh my God. But
what do you mean in terms of stress?
Yeah, stress levels. And I suppose like when you're working full time and trying to get the house up and going, it is stressful. But
and how did you do that? You would finish work and come here straight away?
Yeah. Like I kind of, or like with teaching, like we're so lucky that our day is that little bit shorter and stuff. I was actually in college as well at the time studying, so that it was kind of mad juggling everything. But I suppose that nearly forced me to be super organized as well, that I knew that I had to kind of put this amount of time. And I was really lucky, I'd kind of get my school stuff sorted and park that and then get on to ringing lads or texting or whatever. And like my family and like my boyfriend and stuff were amazing, like they all just kind of rallied in around me and would ring people or collect supplies and stuff. But you just have to be super, super organized with stuff like that.
And you know, you said that there was some stressful days. Was one in particular that stood out?
Yeah, like I would say probably one of them was, I remember like the block layer was here one evening and he was kind of saying, look, listen, I can go to another job. The blocks are outside, but if they were inside for Monday morning. So this is when now we were doing the internal walls in block. And I was looking out like at like pallets and pallets of concrete blocks going, oh my God. So went down to dad and dad was like, look, I'll come up with the tractor and the grab and you just go inside and we'll get them onto the scaffolding. And then dad literally stood at the window, like our corner window in our bedroom upstairs now, and dad handed them into me. And then actually, funny enough, I was on midterm that week and I actually stayed on and labored for the week and literally stacked the blocks. And they're the kind of things like that you do. Like my friends would always be laughing and they were like, we saw your Instagram, like I can't believe like you were like up in the attic putting in rock wool, or you were like handing blocks. And I was like, you just do it because you kind of feel like you're invested in the house so much, like why not just kind of lose the nails and roll up the sleeves and do it, like. But and I suppose as well, like it's money as well, you kind of say, if I'm doing this
100%.
Somebody else isn't. So
I think labor is probably one of the most expensive parts of the build.
Labor, shocking. Shocking. Like, so you kind of go, okay, my supplies are this, and you're totting everything up in your little book and stuff, and then all of a sudden you're there going, oh my God, like the cost of labor on top of that. So that's a kind of constant, yeah.
And did you find then throughout the project, did you find it hard to manage the different trades and going between each one? Did you find that hard?
In the beginning, yes. But then over time, you kind of get into a routine. So it's kind of almost like plaguing them in a sense, if that makes sense, that you'd kind of give them, like, say, for example, the plumber, you would say to him, like, I'll be ready for you in 4 weeks. And I suppose the way I looked at it was that I was one job in his oceans of jobs that he had going on. So if I was to keep telling him and updating him, like sending him a text message saying, hi, Breed here again. I'm going to be calling on you in 3 weeks, calling on you in 2 weeks. Are you all set for next week? And if you kept lining them up, you knew that they were coming. So I kind of felt that that was a really good thing to do rather than just assuming that they'll remember, because they're so busy and they're going to so many houses. They can't probably remember everybody, do you know, and they're brilliant.
And it's not about plaguing, you know, you're being nice about it.
No, yeah. But I suppose you do feel like...
I think that's really good advice though. Yeah. To stay in contact with your trades.
Constantly, yeah. And I think like one quick text message, and like even they appreciate it as well, like, or a quick phone call and it's all sorted. Yeah.
And like, I think another big thing as well is just that communication. You know, you don't want somebody to come and go, you never told me that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To have that communication there, I think is really important. You know, you talked a lot about a budget and going to self-build route. Was there a lot of budgeting, you know, decisions made, and was there a lot of things made to cut costs?
Yeah. And like, there's a lot of, I suppose, the other side of the self-build, it's fantastic to save money, but there is a lot of hidden costs as well that, do you know, like if you do go with a contractor, like it's broken down to like every nail, every stone that's brought on for groundwork or whatever. But I suppose I kind of found like that some trade would come in on site and you'd agreed on a price, and then something might go wrong, or they might need an extra bit of wood or whatever, and then they're kind of sending you for things, and all those kind of 10 and 20 and 100 euro trips all add up. So there is kind of like a hidden cost, or they might kind of say to you, this is the supplies, and then you say, okay, grand, and you go and get them, but then they might be short like a bag of this or like a whatever it might be, and they all add up and they're coming out of your pocket.
Yeah.
Whereas like when you've a contractor, like that's all
absorbed in it.
So you do find that that's kind of, I suppose, maybe a negative of it. Like you have to be very, very careful with budgeting, because like I was writing everything down. Like I know people have Excel sheets and all of that. And there's an amazing actually page on Facebook. I think it's like Self Builders in Ireland or something like that. And what they do is they have like kind of like a budgeting scheme built out, and they've everything broken down and costs. So it's a great way to track and a great way to kind of have an running order as well. But I was old school. I'd like a paper and pen and a little booklet, and I wrote everything down. But you have to be very careful, and then you know your money's coming in at a certain stage from whichever drawdown you're getting. But it is, and that's stressful. Like one of the things when you asked about a bad day, I remember the bank, it was hard, really, really hard to get my first drawdown. And I remember it was like the week before Christmas.
Why was that?
They were just, I don't know really, to be honest with you. Anytime I rang them, like at one stage they were saying that I put down the wrong address, that I'd written my bank in Limerick when it should have been like the offices in Dublin, and like silly, silly little things. And it was the week before Christmas, and lads were like roaring at me for money. And I hadn't gotten a drawdown, and I pumped all my money into the house, and I was just going, oh my God. Like that's stressful. I think like things going wrong, I would always say to people like that, it can be fixed. But I think money stress is a different kind of stress, and it just kind of creeps in on you and you get worried.
Especially when people are...
in your ear and people... And like, that's fair enough. It's Christmas week and lads want to be paid, and you've promised them you will pay them. So I did find that like anything that was related to money does get stressful.
Very, very stressful.
But anything that's kind of broken, or like trades are amazing. They'll always go, oh, look, there's a way around that, or we can do this. There's always a way of fixing things.
Yeah, like I think it's really interesting that the budgeting side of things is probably one of the most stressful parts of a build as opposed to the build itself.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, but like, were there specific areas that you had to cut costs?
Oh yeah, like in the beginning, like we were going with a standing seam over the door. Like the utility was in the budget. Like we were going to get it painted on the inside. And just as you get closer to the end, like, and I know loads of people will say this, you can get the shell of a house up, no problem, and you'll put a certain amount of money into it, and you're like, oh, this building crack is grand. And then you go to finish the inside, and just the money just disappears. So it's those kind of things. Like, ideally, we would have had it painted moving into it. We were going to put that standing seam over the door, little bits and pieces like that. The utility would have been done with the kitchen, whereas we pushed that out and kind of said, listen, could we get 6 months? Can we think about it? And like, people are great, like, because they're so busy as well. They're like, grand, another job that we can do at another time. But yeah, no, people are great that way. But there is things that you do. And I suppose just like with the, when you're drawing up the house, there is certain things that you're like, oh, let's put in limestone windowsills. And then you see the cost of them and you're like, let's go concrete. Those kind of things. But yeah, like, we would have loved the standing seam over the door, just kind of as another feature and stuff. But that's parked for now. But look, save a bit of money.
Future.
Might come back.
So I have a lot of questions about like systems and the kind of the main bones of the house. Mm. Did you go with the common air to water?
Yeah.
How have you found that?
Yeah, so we went with the Daikin system. Really, really good. Like, it's tricky enough. Like, it's like a computer system in there and there's buttons and whatever. But the guy that fitted it was actually fantastic and kind of gave us a crash course. And I was out with the phone and recorded everything he was doing. So that was really, really good. There's a little bit of fiddling with it, but
that's actually a really good tip.
It actually is. So I was like, will you just show me? Because unless you're shown, you don't know.
Yeah, of course.
So just, we can watch that back then, and he's gone through the whole system. And even a friend of mine wasn't sure how to like drop the levels in the floors, and I went down one evening and I was like feeling great about myself. But that's just because I asked and saw. But,
and then you went with underfloor?
Yeah. So we've underfloor downstairs and upstairs.
Okay.
And then the Daikin system. Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah, like, you've hot water all the time.
On demand.
Yeah, on demand. And like, little things, then we ask kind of questions like, there's the two of us in the house at the moment. Like, if we have 4 people over now with COVID, you've nobody over, but if you did, and he showed us how to like bump up the water intake and all of these like kind of clever things that you're not having it on constantly for 5 people when we can just have it for 2. So just really clever kind of money saving things.
And how have you noticed the electricity side of things? Are you using a lot more power? Is it expensive?
No, like, the first bill like floored us, and I suppose that's something for people to be
prepared. Why?
Just, I think we were drying out the house,
right,
and we had it on constant, so we had gone from it being dropped for like the floors to go in and stuff like that, and then we were just kind of giving the house a good dry out before we moved in. And that was a really high bill because it was on high and it was on constant. But since then, like, it's so manageable. Like, it's ridiculous, really, like, for the size of the house. Like, the bills are really, really kind of economical and stuff.
Yeah.
So, no, I do. I would. And I was a bit cynical. I was like, oh, all these people say it's so economical and stuff. But it really is now. We're in since April, and you're talking about the summer months. And, like, we don't have much heating on. We have it, like, I think it's 15 degrees is the lowest the floors will go down to. And we have it at that constantly. But, yeah. And I suppose with all the glazing, like, you've so much solar gain as well. But, yeah.
It's a level of comfort.
Oh yeah.
That if you've never been in a new house, it's a different experience nearly.
Yeah.
You know that sort of way?
Yeah.
You know, if you've been in a traditional house, say 30, 40 years, and you come to a new build, it's like an oven.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Like, yeah, and it's funny, like, because, like, I grew up in, like, the traditional bungalow, and, do you know, like, in the wintertime, you're going out on a night out, and you go for your shower, and you come out, and it's Baltic, and you're, like, running into your room to get dressed and ready as quick as you can. And then here, you're, like, strolling around in a pair of shorts. Do you know, it's gas, like, but it is. It's the comfort, like, that you have with a new build. It's amazing.
I want to talk to you a lot about interior design. I absolutely love the interior design. Yeah. I need to see a smile on your face coming there because I know it's a big part of your input. One of the things I always think is really interesting when you look at a house, like, especially like this, where there's so much different aspects of the interior design. And did you have a plan for each room? Like, I know you have the bathrooms and you have the kitchen and stuff. Was there a plan there, Breed, or was it kind of go as you come, or come as you go, even?
Yeah, I'd say a bit of both, really. Like, both of us, myself and Harry, would kind of be very, very similar in our styles, which is great, really handy when you're picking things and stuff. But no, I suppose in a way, like, I'm the girl that was on Pinterest constantly and looking at gorgeous houses on Instagram and kind of taking inspo from places. But I suppose I had a very clear vision for the house, and more maybe a theme, I think, in a sense, if that makes sense, that, like, it was kind of like quite modern, but like kind of aspects of old through. So you'd kind of have the new married with the old. Just, I didn't want that kind of feel that you're walking into like a dentist surgery and it's very clinical. Like we've the whole house miscoated in white. And it's probably the best thing we ever did. Like, it hasn't been painted properly, you probably see. But it's just a miscoat, but it gives us this like white blank canvas. And then everything I kind of feel nearly pops off that, which I really, really love. But I suppose, going back to your question, yeah, we did, in a sense, like we kind of saw things. We're very decisive, the two of us, and just knew straight away, yeah, that's what we want. Or, and now, like, if you were to ask Harry, like, he comes home and he's like, oh, there's a new rug, or the rug has moved. And I'm like, I'm trying it somewhere else. Like, you do fiddle around with a lot of things, and things
and like,
change.
You know, like did you have plans for certain rooms? Like
oh yeah, like I think the bathrooms, that was probably my big thing, and the kitchen. They were kind of my big projects, that I wanted colour and I wanted personality. So I kind of knew I wanted a black and white bathroom downstairs, kind of industrial kind of vibe to it. And then I knew I wanted a pink bathroom, kind of a green bathroom, and then a white and blue one. I didn't want kind of grey or beige. I wanted pops of colour.
Sorry, how many bathrooms is that? and then the kitchen itself. Tell me a little bit about the design and the thought process behind it, because I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, so like, when, like, originally, it's kind of funny, like, before the house ever went off, I was off and I was driving to kitchen places and I was showing them the plans as they were, and people were telling me this, that, and the other. And then I kind of parked it, funnily enough. I'd done loads of research in kitchens and I kind of knew what I wanted, but a lot of people were kind of telling me, oh, put the sink under the window and you'll have to have an extractor fan here, and where's your hob going to go? And
the, like, triangle.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of a triangle. And like, I really wanted an island, kind of some form of an island. I just thought that was a lovely feature. And then they were kind of saying, oh, your island's going to be very small, and the space that you're working with. And then we've the hidden pantry as well. So I was kind of telling this to people, and I felt like that they were listening to me, but maybe not hearing what I was saying. So we actually went with Savvy from Thurles in the end, and it was probably one of the best decisions we ever made. They were just like, we went up and we worked with Dawn in Savvy, who was amazing. And what I loved about her was she told me no sometimes. Like, I felt like other places were going, oh yeah, you can do that, no problem, what do you want? And it was all yes, yes, yes. And we didn't hear no. And you kind of went away feeling like, oh, sure, we can get anything. But we couldn't, in a sense. So they were brilliant. And we kind of went with them wanting something modern, but also wanting something quite homely and warm. So I suppose that's why we have the oak presses. Like, they're quite a warm feature, even though it's like a wall of presses. But it's really, really nice, and absolutely love the kitchen. Yeah.
And you were even telling me earlier about the future-proof aspect of the oak.
Yeah, so a lot of people, I suppose, at the moment are maybe going with like two-tone. I know two-tone is really in, and we really liked that idea as well. So we went with navy for the peninsula, and then on top then for the oak. Like, for future-proofing, we could technically paint that. Like, we could get it sprayed grey in 10 years' time, or we could go green, or whatever is in vogue at the time. But to be honest, I can't see us changing. I just think the oak is lovely. And it brings that warmth to the white room, and I suppose with the vaulted ceiling as well, it's a nice feature. And again, Savvy were amazing. They got us to do the bulkhead.
Okay. Yeah.
So rather than the presses finishing and having this huge space above, and like, even Dad, I remember saying, like, God, you're losing so much space. And then Mom was like, but what would you put in that space?
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to store
dust
up there?
Collector.
Dust collector, exactly. Yeah. So it was Savvy that kind of said to us, would we do the bulkhead over it? And it just makes it really slick. It's
a lovely
finish.
It's really clean. And tell me, Ben, how did you get rid of the extractor fan idea?
Yeah, so we have an induction hob on the peninsula. And again, we don't have an island, we have a peninsula. So that's funny. Some people are like, oh, I love your island. I'm like, technically, it's attached to the wall.
Okay,
Even like at home, they're like, it's a peninsula.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But no, I'm only messing about that. But yeah, so the hob is on the island, and then it's ducted down. So you're extracting.
And does that work? Like, is it good?
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah.
I can imagine if you're cooking a big curry or something, would it be strong enough to take?
No, it's actually, it's amazing. And it's funny, like, you can actually feel the extraction at your feet, like when you're standing there, like the pull of the draft of air.
And then does that go to the exterior wall?
Yeah, so that's pumped out. But it's brilliant. Like, it's so, so good. So it's the Bora we have, and that was kind of one of the products that they had above in Savvy that kind of swayed us. Like, they were showing us hot water, and it's mad. You know, when you're at home, that's what I found in the beginning, when you're at home and you're like boiling an egg, or like kind of like melting butter on a pan, and you go off and do X, Y, and Z. You don't do that here, because the pan is like hot in seconds, and everything cooks so much quicker. And now maybe it's rose tinted glasses at the moment, but it's great.
You're loving it. I really want to ask you about the floor.
Yeah.
Because when I first came into the house, I actually thought it was a polished concrete floor.
Yeah, so it's a tile, like a polished concrete effect tile. So there's like a lovely kind of a warm brown and kind of navy speckle to it. So we just really, really loved it. Like, we were humming and hawing about like the whole polished concrete thing. And I suppose what really put me off it was that unless you get the perfect person to do it, and there is that unknown until it's polished, what you actually are going to get. And I suppose when we visually saw these in the shop, we fell in love with them. Like, they were the first tile we saw in the first shop, and we went back to them. It's probably like those girls with the wedding dresses that go back to the original. But so we fell in love with them. They're just, I suppose what I find about them is that they don't draw your eye. They're just very soft, but they're lovely. We love them.
And did you get all your tiles from the same place?
Yeah, we actually did. Now, we went around to loads of different places, but we ended up going with the local.
Probably got a bit more value than
exactly. When you're kind of giving them the big order, and you do find that, like, when you arrive and you kind of say, listen, I'm giving you the order, and they actually tiled as well for us. So it was kind of the whole package. So it was nice, and they're literally 5 minutes over the road, which is gas. So like, if you were missing something, it was never a big issue. Yeah. You're kind of like staying local. There's amazing like kind of benefits to just being able to pop over the road, or even with them, they'll be like, oh sure, look, Breed, we'll drop it down Monday morning when we start. There was none of this, we need to meet you Friday evening and have it on site. So those things really help.
And the rest of your furniture in the house, like, was that just bits and bobs grabbed here and there, or did you go to a specific place to get all your furniture?
Yeah, there's kind of a mix.
Not to go into too much detail.
Browsers in Limerick is where we got like our kind of corner sofa, which is a gorgeous shop in Limerick, and then kind of like Easy Living and Casey's and all of these kind of shops, we got big bulky things in there, like beds and corner lockers. And then we've a lot of like a table and chairs from Mom and Dad. We've like kind of a funky old radio from that we've robbed, like begged, borrowed and stealed from where we could. Like, I've a bed that my brother was getting rid of upstairs, and just bits like that. Like, and I suppose that's the other thing, like, originally I wanted to kind of move into this palace, and now when people come, I'm like, don't open that door, that's not done. But that's the reality of it, like, as I said, the utility is just a room with a washing machine in it and all our plants. But like, that's the reality of the build. And the other side of it then was like that I was unsure. Like, I am very specific about what I like, but then sometimes when you actually live in a home, you get such a different feel for it. Like, that you just kind of see a room in a different light, and even though you've planned to be this or that, that you can see it in a different light, and maybe what you had planned for your couch or your bed might not work.
And so, have you found that you've made changes to your original plan since you've come in?
No, a lot of it. Like, we were kind of like the good room inside that Seamus was thrown into there a while ago, like that. We were kind of saying, God, maybe could we do something different with that? And I suppose that was the big idea with the house as well, that there's kind of corners, like up at the top of the stairs, we have kind of like a little library, and we want to have a little open plan office, that we wanted just kind of nooks that would evolve with the house.
Like, I love that.
Do you know, like down the line under the stairs, if it was going to be like kind of a reading place or whatever it might be, as you evolve as a couple or a family or whatever it might be, that like the house would evolve. But some rooms you do kind of say, God, we could have done this, or maybe we were too quick to buy the couch. You know, it could be like a pool room or something, but no, we're happy with most of it.
The future can still hold changes is what you're getting at there. Tell me a little bit about the fireplace.
Oh yeah, so this is this gas actually with the fireplace, because this was probably one of the first things on Pinterest. I saw this fireplace and a fire seat, and I was telling people about it, and it was the kitchen crowd that actually made the kind of bench in the end. So like, it's brilliant, we use it all the time. But halfway through the build, I did get like itchy feet. And
why?
I think like lots of people were saying like, oh, it's open plan and the flow, and it's breaking the flow. And I was very much, should we go open plan or should we kind of break it off slightly? But I kind of in my heart knew it was going to be a feature, and I kind of knew that it would be cool. And I kind of had to trust my gut, I suppose, is what I'm saying, like that. during a build, lots of people can kind of try and sway you other ways, and you kind of have to stick with your gut. So I had this one picture on Pinterest that I was going off, and I was just going to stick to that. So I wanted like a jewel-sided fireplace that we would see it in the kitchen and then have it in our little snug area. And then I also wanted the fire seat that I knew the TV would be in the corner. And it's gas, like we would, like one of us would be thrown out on the couch and then the other will sit across on the bench. And like we use the bench then as like a banquet bench for dining as well. So you're eating dinner and then the legs swivel over and we're watching TV. But I love this feature in here, and it makes this area more cozy as well. Yeah, even though it's open plan, like it just makes it cozy.
It kind of closes it off.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't imagine you've lit it too many times though.
Once, yeah, really? And that was on the advice to light it by the company we bought it from, just to make sure it was working.
Right.
And you know, your draft was pulling out and all of that. But yeah, I don't know. Now in the winter, like I'm a real kind of grown up in a house with the stove, and I know it's so topical, like on Instagram and all of these votes about stove and not stoving and stuff, but like I love it. And I know people say it's the most expensive thing you'll put into the house, but like originally I was going with a much more expensive one. I was going with the Stovax that was thousands. And then I actually went back in and
pulled back,
and kind of revisited what we had as an op and just kind of said to them, what can I do? And my cousin Seamus actually came up and we actually made just the op that little bit bigger, and just kind of chipped away that we had a couple of mil on either side, and we just went with a much more reasonable stove. So there is scope, like it wasn't that expensive in the grand scheme of things, and it's not coming out. There's a steel beam running above it, so it's in for life. But yeah.
And, you know, throughout the build process, there's so many things going on, so many moving parts. When you look back at it now, Breed, is there anything that you would change or any mistakes that you might advise people not to make?
Yeah, I suppose that kind of comes back to the point there about like people telling you what you can and can't have. And I suppose in particular towards the end of the build, like the finish line is in sight and you can taste the new house, like you're so close that you kind of, well, me personally, I felt like that I got a little bit kind of eager to get in and a little bit happy to kind of just say, oh, look, that'll do, like to compromise, I suppose, a little bit. So
you'd like, be saying don't compromise.
Yeah, I think you have to stay really strong until the end. And like little things, like I had this image in my head that I wanted to go with like old school skirting. That was one thing, that just something really, really small and minimalistic and that you didn't really see. And I'd found it and like researched about it and found a company that did it. And when I went to them, the rep there was like, oh, you're absolutely mad. That's not gone in since the 80s. And who does that? And that got in my head. And usually I'd be quite good to say no. And he was like, no, look at this one. And I think sometimes when you're looking at something in isolation as well, you're like, oh my God, yeah, no, it is lovely. Yeah. And then when you think of the grand scheme and your whole picture, and then later on then on Instagram, this house that I follow, I saw that they put their architrave down a skirting, and I was like, it's so simple, but I didn't think of it.
And did you go with the old one in the end, or you went with the new one?
So I went with the new one in the end. Now it's lovely, like, and I'd say I'm the only one that sees these things, but for me it's kind of something in my head that I was going, why didn't I kind of problem solve? And like, look at that house, and they were so clever, and they just got their architrave down and it's slick. But it's probably sounds like you know, kind of like.
But I think it goes back to that point of, you know, just really sticking to your guns and knowing what you want and having that vision. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people can get swayed, and it's very hard, especially when there's so many people shouting in your ear between trades and suppliers and, you know, reps. And just, you know, you need to really have that, I suppose, image in your mind of what you're going for.
Yeah. And I think, like I mentioned in the beginning as well, like what you see and maybe what a trade might see is very, very different. Like they're looking at a specific job, whereas you're looking at
Nobody is going to love this as much as you. Nobody.
Yeah. You're looking at the whole kind of canvas, I think, in a sense, whereas they're looking at a very kind of like isolated part of the job. So yeah, I would definitely say to kind of stick to your guns and your gut as much as you can, because it's your house at the end of the day and you don't want to be pleasing somebody else. You want to have what you love.
And the completely other side of that coin, What is your favourite part of the home? What's the one thing that you just love so much?
I love the stairs and I love the corner window there. I love it from the outside. I love it from the inside. Yeah, it's fab. It was kind of, that was something that like my whole idea like was that you would come in the front door and it would be kind of peeking in the corner and you'd be like, oh, and then you'd go around and kind of see it. It almost feels like a hotel in a sense.
Yeah.
That kind of, it's the scale
it's
of it.
It's huge. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I had seen photos of it on your Instagram. Mm. And then when I came here, it's the first thing I said to you.
Yeah.
Breed, it's absolutely massive.
Yeah, it is huge and it's just a real feature.
Yeah.
And I suppose like the whole idea with the house was that like this was going to be our living quarters and then you'd kind of move to the two flat story blocks in a sense, and that just kind of is the last part of the flat block and then you've your two stories. So I just think it's a really, real feature and it's gorgeous. And we spend so much time outside, like the summer has been pretty good. So we kind of sit outside in the retaining wall and you're kind of looking in, and it's even funny if somebody's popping up the stairs, you're like, hey,
yeah.
waving at each other. You feel like you're kind of on holidays or something.
Yeah,
but I love it. I'm so glad like that people had said to me you'd have to break the pane of glass or was it going to work and stuff, but it did. And
how
and we got
the
there.
Hell did they get in there? Was there a big crane here or what did
no
they do?
no so it was and I have to give a shout out to the window company. They were fantastic. Yahal Glass in Nina. So when I went down to them, like obviously we had to go wood so that it could hold the pane of glass. And just, I'd say five lads came and they had ropes. It was like a pulley system and they just fired the two of them in. Yeah, they were amazing. And that's like, that's another love, I suppose, like the windows. We did definitely blow the budget with the windows. Like I had a specific amount of money and that did
doubled.
Not work.
Yeah.
But it didn't double, but it definitely didn't work out. But it's something I'd never change. Like, so we've actually solid wood everywhere. Like the doors are solid wood, all the windows. And then the two-story part of the house, we have like the lacquered pine. So I know jewel colours are really in at the moment and stuff. But yeah, I love the lacquered pine. There's that lovely warmth and kind of a Scandi vibe to it.
Yeah, there really is.
Yeah, so it's really, really nice.
I think it's a very future-proof sort of window, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's not really in vogue. It's kind of going to stay.
Yeah, you know I think so. And like the other side of that, then again, like the kitchen, like if you did want to paint them down the line, you could.
Yeah.
Now I can't see myself doing that, but yeah, like there, that option is there, but it's just, I suppose we weren't sure about putting like the RALIS 7016 on these ones here, but we weren't really sure about putting that everywhere. I think here it frames the pictures really, really nicely that we have outside, but upstairs we wanted something just a little bit softer, and I think the wood is lovely.
Sorry, did you just name the color code of the windows?
Yeah.
Jesus. That's very impressive. So come here, what date did you move in? Do you remember?
Yeah, the 4th of April. Yeah.
And was that was this year?
Yeah.
So let me think about that. So were we in a lockdown then, or that was just... So we had March and then we went Christmas. So we weren't in lockdown.
Like we had two lockdowns during
before
the
before that. Yeah.
The first one being like...
the most severe.
Yeah, that was really hard. That was kind of 2 months shut shop. And we were at roof level at that stage as well, so that was really hard. Like we were so close to being tight, like kind of like watertight, which would have been brilliant, but it all worked out okay.
And did COVID have much of an impact on you?
Bar the kind of the stops.
Yeah.
Like, so the first one, obviously, like nothing happened. And then by the time the second one came, then the government had kind of announced that if you were close enough to nearly getting in, that you could continue.
Okay,
so
yeah.
We were lucky in that sense that happened. But yeah, it was tough. Like, but the only side of it like that... in the beginning, the stairs was going to be slightly different, and I actually changed it during lockdown. Like there were certain things during lockdown that just gave me that time to breathe.
Oh yeah, okay.
That I kind of found like
you had time to focus on the project while
like,
everything was stopped.
It's so kind of gung ho that like those 2 months, it was like, well, I can't go up to the house and I'm not sweeping out floors every weekend or washing windows or whatever it might be. And I was like, I might as well just go research things, and that's what I found.
It's a really good attitude. Yeah,
and it was really good. And like I found that 2 months in a sense, like it is so intense that you just kind of, you had that kind of moment to breathe and just kind of think about things and like even look to the future about like beds or couches or those kind of things that aren't so important when you're in the building process but become super important later on with lead times.
And trying to figure that out then with COVID. Yeah, of course. I'm sure you're going to have a big party soon, or
oh,
a
yeah.
big
Yeah, home. I think I'd say so. Yeah, my dad retired yesterday, so we were talking about doing a big dinner party or something.
It'd be nice, but
it'd be lovely just to have friends and stuff up. I think it's kind of lonely in a sense moving in. You're just kind of there and you're like, oh, yay, and nobody kind of comes. But I think that's all changing now with the kind of vaccinations and stuff. So that'll be great. It'll be lovely. I suppose, as you said, like people have seen the kind of Instagram page that I have running for the house and stuff. And then they come and they're like, oh, wow, like I didn't realize that slider was that big.
Yeah.
Or, oh, that room looks
I think scale, sorry to shout, but I think scale is really hard to get across on Instagram. When you see the house, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
It really is wow. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think since we kind of started a bit of the groundwork as well, when you drive off the road, like we had a moment the last day that I don't know where we were in the car and we were driving back. And we generally come the other road, and when we came off the other road and it was just like in front of us, and it was kind of one of those wow moments that you go, oh my God, like it's, we've done it and we're here. And yeah, it's great.
Class, class. I want to take you back to that very first night's sleep.
Yeah.
So you decide that you're both going to sleep there that night, and you have probably a good night's sleep, and you wake up in the morning. What was that like? Describe that feeling to me.
Yeah, like we actually did New Year's Eve here as well, because we had thought that we'd be in for Christmas. And then with COVID, we weren't. So we actually kind of rang in the new year here as well, which was lovely. So we actually had that exact table and chairs, and had like kind of like a Christmas kind of like thrown out on it, and like rung in the new year here. So that was lovely to do that. Like, and that was kind of a really special moment. But I suppose the first night here, do you know what? To being completely honest, it's very alien. You feel like you're in an Airbnb or something, because you put so much time into the house and what every little part is going to be and what it looks like, that you actually don't imagine living in it. Well, I didn't anyway. I didn't think about the whole living in it part. So when I woke up in the morning, it was a bit like, oh, this isn't usually the side of the bed that I'm at, or the locker is a bit weird here. I personally, Harry was delighted. He like walked in the door, closed the door, and couldn't have been happier to be here. I found it a bit weird. I think I don't know, maybe is it girls or something? I'd invested so much in the house that I actually didn't take the time to reflect on the actual getting in. I'm always like, even when I'm talking to you, I'm like, there's a speck of dirt over there in the corner. Do you know that kind of way that I'm constantly thinking of the next thing, that I never took that time to kind of reflect on what you've done? And it was great, like, because Harry kind of said that to me, like we'd be watching TV and he'd be like, just enjoy it, like we're here now. And that's what I would say to people, is that like, sit down for the first month and put the feet up and enjoy being there and what you've achieved.
Yeah, because you know, no home, like literally every person I've spoken to about this series, and speaking to probably hundreds of people now, you know, nobody's home is finished.
No,
literally
no.
Nobody's home. So I think that's a really important point to get across, is, you know, that you should be enjoying your home as you progress through it,
yeah.
You know?
And I think even like if you were to look at your parents or your family, like they'll constantly be doing up a room or painting a room or painting the outside of the house. And like houses are supposed to evolve and supposed to evolve with you. And I think that's what I've learned as well. Like that in the beginning, I almost felt embarrassed that, oh, we don't have the utility, or we haven't it painted, or don't mind that skirting, we haven't filled in the holes in it yet from the nails. But I think people appreciate knowing how honest you are.
Yeah.
Even like with Instagram as well, like sometimes I put up like little funny videos of me doing things, like, and people will text you and say, oh, it's great to see you doing that, and it's real, and like life is real, like nothing's perfect. Like obviously I've cleaned an inch of its life behind me here, but like there's dirty plates in the, you know, like in the pantry and stuff, so that's life.
And so was there that moment where there was like a
yeah, I think it nearly took me a month to get that. And it was just kind of like, you just sit down. I think it was probably nearly sitting on the couch there one evening, and you kind of look out and you're just kind of like, oh my God, we're here. And it hits you and stuff. So yeah, it's great. You get kind of proud moments, or I think it's when people come into the house and kind of see it, like, you know, like some of my friends have called up just to see it and kind of get a tour. And when they kind of react, there's that kind of sense of self-satisfaction that you're kind of going, oh my God, like we've actually done this. It's kind of, I think, more from other people enjoying it that I enjoy it, than rather than sitting down and going, look, it's great. Yeah.
And what did mum and dad say when they came in?
Oh yeah, so they love it. Like, so they were like, without them, like without all our families, like God, we would have been lost. Like Harry's parents with the outside have been superb. Like, they're amazing at gardening and stuff. So it's amazing to have their support and help, and have given us gorgeous pieces. And Mom and Dad were the same. Like, my God, like everything. Like, my mom, like, has always been my PR, like, for everything in life, and she's been super. And Dad the same. Like, I suppose being from a farming background and having like the trailer and the hitch and the tractor and having brothers and having loads of uncles and stuff, it's just been super. Like, it's been immense.
Yeah. Really kind of like a nearly a family get together in terms of,
like,
help.
Like, yeah, really. And almost like a community thing as well, because so many of the trades were kind of local lads as well. Like,
that's great.
So do you know, when they were coming in to do a job, it might be 8 o'clock at night and you're going, do you want a slice of pizza? And they're having a slice of pizza and going, did you hear so-and-so did this or that? And it's just lovely. Like, but I suppose for the family as well, you can see how proud they are of you in accomplishing something like this, because it is, it's a huge project to take on, but yeah, they're delighted, yeah.
So the last question I always ask, which is a funny one, is this your forever home?
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. There's no, I wouldn't do it again. The whole building thing, yeah. And I suppose, like, I love this house. Like, I just kind of feel like I've put so much of me into it, the thoughts of giving it to somebody else. Now, like, things could change in the future and stuff. You just don't know what's coming. But I think I've poured so much of me into this house, like, the thoughts of letting it go. And I think for the two of us, myself and Harry, like, we've so many plans for the future, like, kind of doing outside and kind of putting down our roots here. I think that I couldn't see us letting go of the house.
Yeah. Oh, that's really nice. That's really it, Breed. And I just really want to say that it's been a pleasure talking to you and being able to talk to somebody that's been so invested in the house and to have managed to get to the other line. I think it's really inspiring for people that are probably listening or watching this, because, you know, sometimes it can feel like an endless journey. So to see you and see you're smiling and to see the interior design.
I'm sweating.
So, yeah, yeah. Well, it's roasting in this room. But yeah, I really appreciate your time, so thank you very much. And if people want to get in touch with you or find you, what's the best place to do that?
Yeah, I have an Instagram page. It's a house N, the letter N home, that I just kind of fire up bits on that. But yeah, and like, I suppose that's what I find about that community, like, that I've learned so much from people, and I have no problems with people sending a message and asking a question. Like, it could be about a tile or it could be about insulation or whatever it is. Loads of measurements. You always get asked, like, what's the length of, like, your slider or how long is your peninsula? But like, it takes you 2 seconds to answer. Yeah, so fire away any questions.
Yeah, thanks very much.
No problem.
I really appreciate
your
time,
Breed.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. It really, really means a lot. If you want to find out more from Breed, you can find her on Instagram at ahouseinhome. And as I mentioned at the start of the podcast, you can also view the YouTube episode on the Get In Our Home YouTube channel, where you can see Breed's stunning home and all of the unique features we spoke about. I've just set up Get In Our Home with the aim of helping people that are on their own home building journey. As we're only new, I would really, really appreciate it if you could click subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to this on. It'll cost you absolutely nothing and really help us to keep going with the content. It'll also help you to stay notified when we release new episodes. We're going to be releasing a new podcast and corresponding YouTube episode every second Sunday, so stay tuned and subscribed for all things home building. Thanks, and hope to see you all soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.